Blog Talk Radio.
Once again for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we meet every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we do thank you for taking out the time to join in on the day before Thanksgiving. My goodness, we have so much to be thankful for. So we want to start off by thanking you, amen, for health, thanking you for strength, and thanking you also for participating this evening. Of course, if you've looked at the blog, we are in Indiana this evening, amen, with a dynamic speaker, Pastor David Reese, amen, who happens to be he's related, let's just say. He's a son-in-law, but he's also related in the spirit, amen. Amen. A young man who is sold out for Christ, loves the Lord, amen, and he walks it daily, amen. So we're anxious to hear what the Lord has placed on his heart as we move forward. For those of you who are calling in by internet, amen, if you'd like to call in and participate, or if you have a question, amen, for the pastor, the call-in number is 437-437-4054. Wow, goodness, why am I slumbering this evening? 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Amen. And when you call in, if you have a question toward the end of this sermon, amen, just hit the number one and you can, we'll open up the mics for you. Amen. Also, we'd like to let you know that if you would like to share this with a friend, family member, amen, what a good way to introduce Christ to someone in your family, amen, that you could be a blessing to the household as we enter into this Thanksgiving, amen. You can go into Blog Talk Radio, and as you go into Blog Talk Radio, type in We Can Begin Again, and once you type that in, you can pull up this message, amen, and share it with someone that you love. It could just be a topic of conversation, amen, about Christ and how God has blessed you as well as the other in their life or your life. Amen. We're going to move forward. We're going to have prayer. There's so much going on. There are many members of the body of Christ who have lost loved ones. Amen. And we're constantly in prayer for those loved ones. One family I would like to point out right now or is on our prayer list is would be the Sims family, amen. They just lost their brother, amen, so we're praying for the Sims family. Also, the Hines family, amen, who just lost a loved one recently, amen, and there are so many more, of course, in your family as well, our family, amen, that, that has been lost. Amen. So we're going to ask Dr. Suzanne Hawthorne Clay, who happens to be my wife. She's going to pray, and then the next voice that you hear will be Pastor David Reese from out of Indiana. Amen.
Good evening, saints. Father God, we praise your name, dear Lord, and we thank you. We thank you, Father God, because of the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I thank you, Father God, because you are our creator. There's no us without you, Lord.
Jesus.
I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord, because we know, Father God, that you're a healer, that you're Jehovah Rapha, that you are our healer, that you're Jehovah Nissi, that you're that banner that goes out before us and protects us, the banner of war, that you're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We praise you, dear Lord. You're Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father God, because of Jehovah's Rohi, that you are our shepherd and that you guide us and you protect us and you're over us and you lead us. Praise God.
Yes.
And that you're Jehovah Shalom, that you're ever present, that you're omnipresent and omnipotent. We praise you and we thank you,
yes,
Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Father God, we praise your name this evening, dear Lord, and we come to you, dear Lord, with names, Father God, of those who have been on our prayer list and those, Father God, who are requesting prayer, who have requested prayer. We continue to lift them up, Father God, believing that we're going to have praise report, just like we did last week. We lift up Shamara Lacey and her family, dear Lord. We ask you, Lord, to watch over her children, Father God. Give and we thank you, dear Lord, for her, Father God, and the ministries that you have in her experience, Father God. We thank you. And thank you, dear Lord, that you would bless Satana and Laurel Bonds, Father God, Allah and Renee and Willie Davis, Father God. We ask a special blessing, Father God, for Danielle Thomas and Amy Morton, Father, in the name of Jesus. A special blessing, Father God, and we thank you. We thank you for the praise report that we received for Eric Jones, Father
yes,
God.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, that he is coming up and coming out of the hospital, Father God. We praise you, dear Lord.
Yes, thank you, Father.
The miracles that are taking place with he and with others, Father God, that have received one report, but whose report will we believe?
Yes.
We believe your report, dear Lord.
Hallelujah.
We believe your report. We praise you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that you would bless and keep Lisa Doggett and Keita Thomas. Thank you, Lord, for the continued healing for Sandra Provo, Father God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for peace and for Juliana, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the restoration for Norman Rice and for Bill Spratlin, dear Lord.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for the healing that's taking place, Father God, and taking place, Father God, for Tina, Janetta and Tranita Hobbs, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for Lisa Klizek, Father God, for her strength, Father God, for her continued progress, dear Lord, for Altamise Bell, Father God. We pray for Christine James, for Nancy Shaw, Father God. We celebrate the praise report that we received for Nancy Shaw, dear Lord, and thank you, Lord, for continued healing. We ask you, Lord, to keep Patsy Coggins comforted, Father God, and that you, Father God, know her beginning, Father God, and you know her end, Father
thank
God.
You,
so just comfort her and bless her, Father God. Be it put your ministering and warring angels about her, Father God, and we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Justin Stewart Williams, Father God, that you bless him, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for healthy marriages, Father God. Healthy marriages, Father God. These marriages that you have brought together, Father God, that no man will put asunder, Father God.
Yes.
That they are not broken. The marriage vows are honored. That the marriage bed is not defiled. That there be blessings and blessings, and that the marriages flourish, Father God, that they flourish spiritually, Father God, physically, Father God,
yes. Thank you,
emotionally,
Jesus.
Father God, financially, Father God, that they be a blessing, Father God, that these marriages, Father God, be a blessing to those that are around them, Father God, and we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you would just bless Anthony Williams and continue with his healing as well, dear Lord.
Yes.
For the family of the Henry family, the Holland family, the Palmer family, the Hines family, that you bless them, Father God, as they mourn, Father God, as they mourn, that you would just bless them, dear Lord, and for the Palmer family as they stand not only mourning the loss of loved ones recently, Father God, but also standing in agreement and encouragement for the one that's in the hospital
yes.
right now, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for good reports.
Thank you, Jesus.
For good reports. We thank you, dear Lord, for that you would bless and permit healing for James and Kim Chappelle, Father God, for Angela Payne, Father God, and Benjamin Berry. We celebrate his praise report as well. Lord, we have a lot of folks that we've been praying for with renal conditions that are waiting for transplants, experiencing kidney failures, Father God, on dialysis, having complications from diabetes, Father God, and heart disease, and infections, kidney infections. And we just ask you, Lord, to just bless those people, Father God. We praise God, dear Lord, praise you, dear Lord, that you've given us medications and doctors and tools, Father God, to live longer with these ailments, Father God. But we ask for healing. We ask for healing and complete restoration for these folks, too. So for we lift up Daryl Lee and Dwayne Chapman and Marcia Settler and Diana England, Brenda Brown, Rhonda Jones, Lori Dix, and Ramir, that you would just bless them, Father God. Bless them, keep them, Father God. Let their reports be good. Let us hear that praise report from them. And we ask for healing from those that are suffering from ongoing illnesses, from chronic illnesses, Father God, healing, even financial healing and physical healing, spiritual healing for those that have church hurt, Father God, mental and emotional healing, Father God, for those who have experienced trauma, dear Lord, intellectual healing, dear Lord, for those that are blinded, Father God, blinded spiritually, Father God.
Yes.
We lift up Carla Robinson and Beverly Robinson, Father God. We lift up the Flowers family as well, what they are going through, Father God. And dear Lord, Arnold Blitzer, the Coggins family, I don't know if I said Paula Coggins and Patsy Coggins, Nadine Matlock, Mother Gloria, Father God, that you would just bless Mother Gloria, dear Lord.
Yes.
Lori and Dan Schaefer, dear Lord, that you would bless them as well, and Lady Brenda Palmer.
Yes.
We thank you, dear Lord, that you've heard all of these names. We lay these prayers and petitions at your feet, Father God, and we look forward, again I say, we look forward to the praise report, believing. Dear Lord, that you are our creator.
Yes.
You know how we're made.
Thank
that you are our healer. You know how to heal us. You
thank
know
you
the Lord. Makeup of our body. And we thank you, dear Lord, that those are things that you desire also. In
thank
Jesus',
you, Jesus.
Name, I pray, dear Lord, that you accept these prayers and petitions. And again, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. We claim it. Amen by faith. Now we're going to move on over into Indiana, and the next voice you hear will be Pastor David Reese. Pastor Reese, are you there?
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Delighted to be here again to share with you. Please excuse my voice. Traveling. I seem to have lost it, but we're going to do what God has called us to do anyway. Let me pray. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you move the humanity of this preacher, that your people are not hindered, but that they hear you. Speak to us, God, and we shall be blessed. Speak to us, God, and we shall be empowered. Speak to us, God, and we shall be restored. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to go to three passages of Scripture tonight. They're very short, so we don't have to labor too long. But three passages of Scripture, all in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 3. Verses 1 through 3, then 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, and chapter 5 and verse 4. Amen.
Amen.
So, beginning with chapter 3 and verse 1 through 3, and then we will move on to chapter 4 and verse 4 and on to chapter 5 and verse 4. And it begins this way. I'm reading from the NASB version of the Bible. Chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "See how great a love the Father has given us, that we would be called children of God. And in fact, we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope set on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Chapter 4 and verse number 4. Glory to God. Excuse me. Come on, technology, work with me today. Hallelujah. Chapter 4, verse 4. And it reads this way, "You are of God, dear children. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I'm going to read that again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Verse 4. "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them." That's very important in this passage.
Yes.
"And overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he
yes.
who is in the world." Chapter 5 and verse 4. Stay with me. Stay with me. It's going to work out for our good. Chapter 5 and verse 4, one of my favorite scriptures. And it reads this way. "For whoever has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith. If you need a thought to take notes with, I would just simply like to use, "I've got greatness in me."
Yes.
I know that when we go through stuff in life, when we go through trials and tribulations, when family members are ill and we can't seem to find a way to help them, we feel helpless. The perplexity of that is we cannot, but God can. Because God is omnipresent. He is everywhere all at the same time. When we pray, we can send the word to someone else's situation. How do we know this? Because we prayed for others and seen the results of our prayer. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Okay, preacher, make it make sense. Jeremiah 29 and 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of good and not of evil." God already has a thought in mind for us, and it is not for us to go through the stuff that we are going through, but he allows the things that we go through to happen because it is meant to strengthen us. It is meant to strengthen our faith in him. It is meant to strengthen our belief that he's a way maker, that he is a yoke destroyer, a burden remover. The anointing of God will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we know that the enemy has the principality or the authority in the earth, but he can't do anything without the permission of God.
Amen.
Okay. Old Testament, in the book of Job, when the sons of God are having a meeting and Satan is going to and fro, and he says, wait a minute, where comest thou? He says, you know, going to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. God speaks on behalf of Job. Job had nothing to do with this conversation. God speaks on his behalf, and he says, hast thou not the hope, my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? Job has no idea that God has brought his name up. Because in Job's reality, all he is seeing is calamity, chaos, and tragedy. But his faith, his belief in God kept him connected to know that even in this, I know my God is able.
Yes.
One of his poignant phrases is in the scripture, in the book of Job, naked came I into this world. Naked shall I leave. In another passage, he says, man is born of a woman a few days, and those few days are full of trouble. But for somebody who's listening tonight, you must understand that you still have greatness in you. The trouble that you are going through is trouble, but it's meant to cause you to triumph, because trouble is being used for training. It's training you and I, all of us, into how to believe despite an obstacle. It's number one. Number two, it is training us to know that there is no defeat in God. Number three, it is training us to understand that God is greater than our greatest setback. No matter where we have been set back from, God is greater than that. No matter what we deal with in this present moment, going through this pandemic, God had to restructure the church because what we were doing before wasn't working. So now we had to be restructured. He had to tear it down to rebuild it. Now we can be in a place where we really trust God, and our faith now has to stand for us. Churches are not the same as they were pre-pandemic. I'm not trying to spook anybody. I want you to understand that God had to shut us down to get us to refocus.
Okay.
He had to get us to refocus. He said, you've lost your first love. It does no good to come to church, have church, leave sweaty, and there's no change.
All right.
There has to be, when we come into the atmosphere where God himself has stepped in, there should be a change.
Uh-huh.
We should not leave the same way that we came in. The doorway of the church is to be a transformation point. All of our burdens, all of our problems, all of our stress, all of our issues, all of our hurt, all of our pain, all of our sickness and disease should be left in the hands of God once we enter into the house of the Lord. Because it's a safe place. It's a safe place where we can be vulnerable with God. There's greatness in us, but it takes God to bring the greatness out of us. And in order for that to happen, we have to go through some stuff. In order to produce a diamond, pressure has to happen. Without the pressure, there's no diamond. Okay, make more sense. Without an olive being crushed, there's no oil that can run from it. It's still an olive. But once it's been crushed, once it's been crushed, it leaves its former state and it enters into a different state. So could it be that God is trying to crush us in this moment? And that is why we feel the pressure of everything that's going on. God is trying to crush us to get the oil out of us. But not only, number one, is he trying to get the oil. Number two, he is trying to change our state.
That's right.
Make it plain, preacher. Come on. Make it plain, preacher.
Walking in the same stature that we have been walking in pre-pandemic does not work anymore. Now churches have to learn how to be in person and virtual.
That's right.
You have to learn to multitask now. And so the old guard has to take their place in retirement so that the new breed can come forth. The sons of God need us to come forth in this season. I don't want anybody to feel like I'm trying to separate the two, but there has to be a time when those who have labored need to take their seat and reap the rewards of what they have labored for. I'm not telling you to stop doing ministry, but it might be time for you to let go of the plow that you've been holding on to for so long so that somebody that's got strength can push the plow now, so that somebody that has the vitality and the endurance to go through all of the stuff that is getting ready to happen, so that you don't get worn out and give up the ghost too soon.
Amen. Amen.
Put your hand to the plow and take it back. You're not fit. That's not what I'm saying. But when you have reached the time to reap your reward, they say, my mother-in-law is an example of this. When you retire from working, there's some rewards that you are able to receive. Number one, you can choose when you work. Huh? That's number one. My mother-in-law is still one of the workingest women I've ever seen in retirement. But anyway, number two, it gives you the opportunity to do some things that you've wanted to do.
Amen.
Mom, is it okay if I use you for a moment? The greatness in my mother-in-law and her friends, they created an avenue of creativity, OSPI. They took something that they do to relax and made it an avenue for people to be able to not just do things for themselves, but to do something to minister to others. That is a form of what we call outreach. You may not never speak to some of the people that you reach because of the crafts that you make. But it's the greatness that's in you that produces the creativity. Somebody on this broadcast tonight needs to hear that dream that you keep having over and over again. God is trying to stir you up to put the vision back on the table. Go back to the table and write it again, because he's altered it from the last time you looked at it.
Lord.
Got greatness in me. Are there any questions, comments?
Yes, sir. You bring it home, sir. You bring it home this Thanksgiving. Yeah, you bring it home. You're making it plain. Don't stop. Let's get some more.
So in 1 John, we see that God encourages us through the writer that not only are we children of God, but we will eventually see him as he is. We will eventually see him as he is. Oh, Pastor, help me. Through this pain of the pandemic, all of us have lost someone that has been close to us during this pandemic, whether you knew them fully or not, or you connected with them via Facebook or Instagram. You connected with a person, and then you notice that messages go unread. And you never seem to receive a response. And the next thing that you see is a notice of their transition. I want to talk to somebody on this broadcast tonight that feels like you're all alone. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, dear children. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Mm-hmm. And to make it make sense, God does not leave you alone. He will never leave you alone. Hear me on this broadcast tonight. He will never leave you alone. Yeah. And not only that, he will send somebody that will come by just to drop a word in your inbox, in your DM, or sometime a text that will come through the phone from somebody you haven't heard from in some length of time, or they'll come by the house, or you'll meet them in the grocery store. God lets you know you're not alone.
Thanks.
There's greatness in you, but your greatness is unlocked as you link up with others naturally, sometimes virtually. Your greatness is unlocked when you tap into the presence of God and you stop trying to do it your way. I'm a witness of trying to do it my way, preaching hard and getting nowhere. But when I submitted to God, when he got a hold of me and he got me together, then I noticed a difference. The favor that's on my life, I thank God, as the scripture says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor with God. So I thank God for my wife and the favor that I received, that because she is in my life. But I understand that the favor comes from God. Because there's greatness in my wife, and her greatness mixed with my greatness produces a great thing.
Yes.
God, somebody needs to understand tonight that no matter where you are in your journey, there is still greatness in you. I want to talk to some pastor that feel like he or she is not doing ministry the right way. You got to understand, you got to go back to the table. You can't keep doing it the way you've been doing it. Go back to the table. Get fresh revelation, fresh insight, and God will explode what you're working with. But you got to go back to the table. The greatness can't come out of you until you go to the one who gave the greatness to you.
Oh.
Whew. Any questions? Any comments?
Uh-huh. You're preaching to me, Doc. Keep on.
Yeah, there's two things I like when a preacher comes to the table. Bring something to remind me of something I forgot, or teach me something new, and you cover both areas. And I thank you for that on tonight, preacher. I thank you. This is Miles speaking. Good evening, everyone. Brother moderator and Sister Reverend Doctor, good evening. Please excuse my manners.
Hello. Hallelujah. So we talked about, so far, the greatness that's in us. Let's talk about the greatness that comes from God. because it says you are God, dear children, and have overcome them. Let's deal with this them. We're going to unpack this so y'all roll with me, all right? He says, and have overcome them. What is the them in our lives? That is the obstacles that we have faced. That is our fear of metamorphosis, of the change. The word meta means to undergo. Morphosis means change, to undergo change. What that mean? What does that mean? It means to reinvent the person that you are. You got to shed the old skin and become who God is calling you to become in this season of your life in order for the greatness to be unpacked. You've got to overcome them. And sometimes a part of that them is us, because we like doing what we've been doing because we thought it worked. But now we are finding out that that's not working. We got to do something different. I know that's not good English. I'm sorry. Correct English. But we got to do something different. And the only way to do something different is to go to the one who gave us the vision in the first place.
Amen.
Habakkuk 2 and 2 for the pastors on the line. Habakkuk 2 and 2 says, write the vision and make it plain on the table. Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Though it tarry, wait for it. For it shall speak and not lie. So though it's taken some time, wait on it. We have the wrong idea of ministry a lot of times. Because what we see on TV is not the only form of ministry. What we see on TV takes a lot of work to get done for that 30 minutes. It takes production. It takes media. It takes administration. It takes coordination. It takes the ability for everybody to work in their lane at the same time. So, to the leaders on the line, find out where your people fit and put them in their lane of greatness and let them work their gift in the greatness and begin to see what you have envisioned come to pass. Just because Sister Cherry can read the announcements, that may not be her gift. And that may not be her greatness. She might be a great church administrator, but she's stuck reading the announcements. Deacon James might be good at directing the traffic in the parking lot, but he might be the one that's supposed to be the Sunday school teacher, because there's revelation on the inside of him that he has not unlocked yet. Leaders, we got to get back to getting on our face before God to find out where everybody fits. So everyone is in their lane of greatness, so no one's growth is stunted, so that no one feels like they're being overlooked. If the team don't work, the dream won't work. And everyone must be in their proper place for the team. I didn't even mean to go this way. I don't know what's going on here. The team has to work together in order for the dream to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
It still deals with the greatness in us. If we're working in our lane, then the greatness for that lane will begin to expand, and we can encourage and empower somebody else that's struggling in their lane because we're working well in ours. Look, let me tell you how it worked for me. This is how it worked for me. Now, it might not work for you, but you can try it this way and see if it works. This is what I did. I went to God, and he began to give me revelation and insight. And as he gives revelation and insight, then I am able to operate in the perfected grace of God, because you must be graced to do what you do in ministry. Everybody is not meant to be a senior pastor. Everybody is not meant to be a prophet. Just because they have a prophetic gift does not mean they are called to the office of a prophet. There is a difference in the matter. I deal with that at another time. But we must work with the grace. That's the greatness in us. We got to work with the grace that is on our life for the lane in which we are called to. Got to work the grace that's on you. Your great, the grace that's on you is the greatness that's in you.
Amen.
Grace is the unmerited favor of God. You got to work the grace so that your greatness can be produced. It's got to come out. It can't sit in you. Something that Dr. Miles Monroe said that stuck with me. And I, at first, when I first heard him say it, I thought it was a little morbid. And he said, I want to die. I desire to die empty.
Mm-hmm.
I should not die with anything seen in me that was meant to be produced in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm saying older leaders need to be able to sit back and allow younger leaders to sit at their feet. Let them take up the vision and run with it. But pour vision into them. Pour your wisdom onto them so that they not only have the ability to carry it and to move and to shake with it, but they can also have wisdom in what they do to be able to go in and come out and go in and come out and not get overwhelmed.
Uh-huh.
Greatness in us. We got to unlock it, and we have to tap into the presence of God. This night, tonight, the day before Thanksgiving, this is a freedom night. I didn't come on here just to preach a message or to teach a lesson. Every person on this broadcast needs to be free tonight. And God wants you to be free, but you got a desire to be free. How do I do that? By letting go of everything you knew before now. Because the old work, the foundation is not gone. Hear me when I say this. The foundation is not gone, but the old way of doing things has to be revamped. Stand on the foundation. Live by the foundation. But we've got to change the way that we do things. Because now people are coming into the church who do have tattoos and wear earrings and all that other kind of stuff. And they really want God. But tradition and religion will force them out.
Yes,
and
sir.
When we do that, then
yes,
we are causing harm to a soul.
Amen. Amen.
This is why the old way of doing things has to be revamped. Because the old way of doing things would let anyone with tattoos into the church. But that might be your next prophet in the house. That might be the one that takes the worship to a new dimension. But because you look at the outer appearance, I'm so glad that we are not God, because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the
heart. Yeah, looks at the heart. Yeah.
God is trying to crack. Oh, my dear. God is trying to crack something open on this line tonight, and I need you to hear. Don't hear me. Hear God. Freedom comes when you stop resisting what God is trying to do. Simple as that. And I'm not just talking to everybody on the, I'm talking to me too. Freedom comes when we stop resisting what God is doing. Why? Because God makes a way of escape out of everything. Is that right? He gives us a way of escape. Mm-hmm. That sounds like freedom to me, right? He delivers us out of everything. Sound like freedom to me. In the book of Revelation, it says, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eye. Sound like freedom to me, right? We got to stop resisting what God is doing. We got to stop resisting the change that God is making in us. Because the greatness is trying to come forth. Greatness is trying to come forth, but we got to stop trying to do what we've been doing before. Because that's not working. Any questions? Any comments?
Yes, sir. This is Pastor Robinson. How y'all doing tonight?
Great, sir.
I was listening to the message tonight, and it took me back to a couple of Sundays ago. I preached at a church in Alabama, and I talked about God not looking at, people looking at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And when you said that, it reversed me back to what I was trying to explain to the people at that church. When I used the illustration of a pumpkin in a pumpkin patch, and I done the carving part, and I talked to them about how God carves all of us different. We're all different. We all look different. We all interpret different. We're different from each other. And I talked about being picked out to serve. And one of the things that you hit on that I also try to explain to the people is we are our own worst enemies in the church. We never know, as you said, we never know who that person is that God is bringing into that church to be that next preacher, to be that next teacher, to be that next songster, to be that next leader in the church. We never know. Because we're too busy looking at the outward or looking at the tattoos, as you said, or looking at the earrings or looking at any other body piercings or looking at how they're dressed or looking at the shoes they wear or even looking at or how they smell. We never know, Brother Preacher. Yeah. We never know, as you said, who God is putting in our path. And I am so glad that I was picked out to serve. And that's, I was explaining that to them we as Christians and we as people who are picked out to serve in the field, not in the church, but in the field, we who are picked out to serve don't like the fact that God takes us and he begins to carve us and cut us. And sometimes the carving and the cutting hurts. But it is to purify you. It is to make you better at your job. It is to make you a better person, a better Christian, a better servant. And I was just wanting to just, it really struck me when you said that because, as I said before, it took me back 2 weeks ago when I preached that message. And I was so glad to hear you even say, you know, it's not what we look on the outside. It's what God has put on in us on the inside. And I'm like you. Amen. I am so glad. I am so glad that God sees the heart of man or woman or child. I'm so glad that God sees the heart. Because if we were the type of people who could see the heart, it would be a lot of people getting the hearts cut out. Amen. So I was just wanting to hit on that and let you know I appreciate you going there because, as I said, you took me back. Amen. So thanks a lot for the message tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? All right. So let's tie this up because I know we've only got a few minutes remaining. We've understood now that we have to leave the old way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
We know now that we have to operate according to God's will.
That's right.
And we also know now that the grace that's on us is what causes the greatness to be produced. Every person listening to this broadcast, either live or will listen to the rebroadcast via the archives, has greatness in them. But when we don't submit to God's will, we forfeit our ability to tap in to the greatness.
Mm-hmm.
So it is time for us as pastors, as leaders,
mm-hmm.
to give God his rightful place in our lives. Whether you are theologically sound, studied homiletics and hermeneutics, exegesis and eisegesis, that's wonderful. But have you spent time with God?
Ooh, good question. Good question.
Because the practicality of your preaching is great. But have you spent time in prayer? When sickness comes on your body, can you still pray and ask for God to do what he said that he would?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That is when we begin to move in the lane or in the avenue of the grace that has been given to us that produces the greatness in our life. So tonight, wherever we are, as this broadcast lands, I want us uniformly to just lift our hands toward heaven. And I want you to say this with me. Say, God, here I am.
Here I am.
Do in me.
What you must do.
So that I can be. All that you've called me to be.
All that you've called me to be.
And that is our prayer.
That's our prayer.
Yes.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Thank you, sir.
I'm done.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Man. Pastor Reese, thank you so much for a timely message. Amen. Reminding us of who we are and what our purpose is, making sure that we are in the right place as we move forward as servants of God. Thank you so much. As we get ready to close, are there any before we get ready to close, we are at the hour. All mics open.
Yeah, just continue to pray for me and my family, my wife. continue to pray for all families who at this time may not have a meal to put on the table, but pray that God will provide.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Any other comments or any other requests? Amen. Amen. As I get ready to close, I reminded that we have to remember that we have to get on our face before God. Amen. That means surrendering ourselves totally. This was definitely a word for the body of Christ. Amen. There's a time that we need to begin to start to recognize God in our lives. That time is now. The writing is on the wall. And we as the body of Christ need to operate together. Amen. So thank you so much for just reminding us of what we need to do. Amen. If we're going to move forward and allow the greatness within us to do great things. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We'd like to invite you next week. Amen. Amen.